This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, July 9th, 2021, and I have some important things to talk to you about. No, I'm not going to talk to you about COVID-19 today. I'm not going to talk to you about the World Economic Forum's exercise Cyber Polygon, which happened earlier today, July 9th. I'm not going to spend the next 30 minutes watching that exercise or talking about it with you or talking about vaccines, although that's important. Instead, I want to talk to you guys about something different. This is one of the videos I do periodically. This is just going to be some stream of consciousness, a message I need to share with you. And unfortunately, because of the title, the people who need to hear this most likely will not tune in. I thought about putting some kind of clickbait title like I see a lot of people in the alternative media doing to try to draw you in to make sure you watch it, but I'd rather not do that. So instead, I went with the title, and the title of this this video today is that healing the inner child today will save the world tomorrow. And so we're going to talk about that, what this means, this idea of the inner child, whether it's valuable, because I think some people, I've realized this over the last years, I've been broadcasting as the Conscious Resistance since 2013 and before that under different names. And I've been trying for years to bring together the awareness that we have to both heal and work on ourselves and internally, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, at the same time as we need to expose the physical manifestations of power and work in the physical world. And there are many of you who get it and who I think are drawn to my work and this work because of your understanding of that. But I've also met lots of people who only understand, like maybe they get the spiritual side and they're super spiritual, they meditate, they've got these different practices, they're Christian, whatever it may be, they've got their spiritual kind of path alive and their connection to that journey. But then they're totally devoid of, you know, connect, they're like floating so far on this one side, they're totally disconnected from the physical, let's say. And then the vice versa of that is people who are only paying attention to the physical institutions, the physical manifestations of power, or just the physical world in general. They're partying, they're celebrating life, they're all here, physical, all physical, and totally empty or lacking in the spiritual realm. It is the combination of these two things, the recognition, the realization, the understanding that the fight for a more free and ethical and just world will not come from one of these things alone, but instead comes when you bring them two together. And that is what I call the Conscious Resistance, or holistic activism, or holistic anarchism. And a big part of that is doing some damn shadow work, as people like to call it, some healing work, taking some time to get to know yourself, to know your traumas, your doubts, your fears, your insecurities, because I don't care who you are or, you know, how famous or wealthy or whatever, you know, established you may be, everybody has doubts, fears, and insecurities, and we all handle them and express them in different ways. And that's just life. So if we only focus on Cyber Polygon and COVID-1984 and the vaccine and the push for this and the destruction of the environment and, you know, the division in politics and just whatever it may be, we get so wrapped up in those things and preparing for them, which is important, and kind of being prepared for anything, but we fail to take care of our own internal world, guys, we are not seeing the full picture. So I just want to elaborate a little bit on what this means to be connected to your inner child, give you guys a few examples of how I've done some of this work, and just an appeal to you, because of the insanity of the world, because of how pressing the outside external physical world is right now, and how consuming and all consuming that can be, or maybe the desire to just ignore it all. Because of those two things, it is more important than ever to, you know, have your spiritual connection right. And a big part of that is to, I would say, get right with your creator, whatever that means to you, but also to know your wounds so that you cannot be manipulated by them. Because the more that our species is choosing to ignore our wounds and ignore our traumas and instead just medicate them like I used to do with drugs and alcohol and, you know, sex and other things, or avoid them, you know, overwork or just whatever different things you may do. Because we're not choosing to work on these things, it leaves us ripe for emotional and psychological manipulation, which is exactly what the state will do and can do to people. That's why people go out there and they start looking for a mommy, daddy figure in the government, because they haven't figured out their mommy and daddy issues in, you know, their own life. So they're replicating them by looking for somebody else to take care of them. Or they have children and they replicate those same issues and same problems because they haven't chosen to work on them. So the inner child, what is meant by that? You know, it's a psychological concept. It's a concept written about in spiritual, new agey, whatever you want to say, woo woo type books. But it's also something that I consider to be very real. You know, like this idea, like when I think about it, I think of this literally, this little child, this little Derek Bros inside of me that is, he's inside there in my mind, inside me, like just as a part of me, because that's where I came from. My emotional state, all the trauma that I had to deal with as a kid, that stuff is still here. It doesn't mean I have to be bogged down by it. It doesn't mean I have to like throw my life away because of it, or I have to blame other people for my problems. But the reality is it's still there. And oftentimes, and I'll speak as a male, we are told as men that we are supposed to ignore our emotions or shove them down or hide them or just pretend like they don't exist. And so you end up with even more fucked up men who are hurt and dealing with trauma, but they don't know how to express it, or they don't want to express it because it feels uncomfortable and doesn't feel good. And I'd rather do things that feel good than things that don't feel good. But overall, as a species, many of us, you know, obviously some of us got out better than others. You know, we all have varying levels of trauma, and one person's trauma against another's, it's not about comparing, like, oh, look who had the more screwed up childhood. I don't care to play those kind of games. I just know that I dealt with things. I'm sure you dealt with things, and it's not about blaming anybody. It's just about recognizing that reality. So you recognize that reality. Okay. The circumstances that happened to me as a child, good or bad, whatever we want to call them, those experiences made me who I am today as an adult, and those experiences still live within me. So I like to tell people that sometimes you'll feel your connection to your inner child in positive ways, right? Like maybe as a child, as a kid, you, like most of us, you were very powerful with your imagination. You were very creative. You like to draw, you like to write, you like to color. You know, you didn't really live with limitations in your mind. You lived as a free person should, as a child does, you know, before they're told, hey, you have to grow up, stop doing that, stop, you know, live this way. This is the only way to be happy. This is the confines that you can live in. Live inside this box and everything will be great. We promise you, come join us. You know, and before that process happens, most of us are very free as children and mentally and emotionally. And we don't, kids, you often notice they don't have a filter because they're free in that way. They haven't been taught to think it's wrong for you to speak your mind. It's wrong. You know, keep those things to yourself. That's not polite. Don't talk about whatever the things may be. So your inner child, though, can be your connection to those positive things. You know, whenever you are a creative person, experiencing creative moments, whenever you are letting your imagination flow instead of buying into all the neuroses that you've been told as an adult, that things that aren't possible are what you have to do and what you can't do. You just believe freely. That's connecting to your inner child in this really awesome, positive, playful way. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's probably important. And some of you probably haven't talked to your inner child in a long time. You got to stick up your ass and you don't know how to be chill and just, you know, be a kid every now and then. Now, there are also negative ways that we can be connected to our inner child. And those are the ways that, so say, for example, in your home, you know, you didn't really, your family didn't communicate about things. Maybe the way that you guys dealt with things when you were growing up and the examples you saw were mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, or whoever, whatever your situation is, yelling at each other. And instead of talking about it, you know, they slam doors and they run out of the room and nothing gets resolved. And then maybe even later, everybody pretends like it didn't happen. And then you just go forward. And that's what you learned. So then as a child, you start to replicate those behaviors. You know, you start to run away and slam doors because you don't know how to talk, because you haven't been shown how to talk. You haven't been encouraged to talk. And then whenever you maybe have some trauma or some difficult things, you just act like it didn't happen because that's what you were shown, right? And then some people, as you age and grow and have experiences, you realize like, man, I act like a child sometimes. I like pout in these ways, or maybe it's like you pout, like you didn't get your way. So you sit down and you just, you know, you pout, or you run and you scream, or whatever it may be. But if you don't work on those things, then you end up like we are, with 40-year-old and 50-year-old children walking around, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old. I'm sure even people who grow and live their whole life and they don't change. They are in some ways, a victim of their own trauma. But it's really ultimately they choose not to work on it because it's difficult and it's painful and it's not fun. So if you don't learn to work on those traumas, then the inner child connection you have might express itself in these kind of painful, you know, childish ways. Again, childlike, but it's kind of accepted in some way that, like, okay, there's a kid, he's having a bad time, he's going to just start freaking out and crying and you know, sitting down and causing a scene. And people kind of excuse it like, well, it's a kid, right? But if you saw an adult in the store arguing with their girlfriend or boyfriend, and then they didn't get their way, and so they just started screaming and sat down and screaming until people, you know, grabbed them and took them out of the store, then you would say, wow, that person is psycho, right? But that's basically the same thing we do. Maybe you don't do that exact same thing, but you're still displaying these childlike behaviors. So the inner child can both express itself in positive ways, creativity, imagination, joy, playfulness, and it can express itself in these very damaging ways and the different traumatic ways that you might have picked up on your own path. Now, that's what the inner child means to me. And this is something that I've written about and talked about before. And I didn't really understand how important this was until probably about a decade ago. We're here in 2021. Yeah, just about a decade ago, I had this really amazing, powerful summer, the summer of 2011. And it was just a time of great change and really growth for my activism, my journalism. But it was also when I was 2 years out of prison at that point, and I was just like, I need whatever healing I can get. I was at the very beginning of my healing journey. And so I opened myself up to, I had already been doing meditation through Zen Buddhism, Zazen, going to the Houston Zen Center. I would participate in different spiritual meditations and kind of events and just trying to open myself up to whatever healing. And I had a couple of different experiences that really helped me connect to that inner child and to literally relive these moments that I had forgotten about or suppressed as a child so that I could heal from them. And I want to just briefly tell you guys about this. I've talked about this in other places. I don't want to spend the whole video about this, but just so you understand, you know, the inner child work. So as, like I said, it was this summer where I was just really open to just going down these paths. And there were two things that happened. For one, I participated in like a men's meditation. It was just like an afternoon at a friend's house. There was probably four or five, six of us. And my friend was kind of guiding the meditation, and he was doing drumming and he was talking. And he also gifted everybody like an animal fur to use as like a totem, as like a guide during their meditation. And so he gave me a raccoon fur. And we started to go into the meditation. You know, he's drumming, he's talking, and he's basically saying like, look, even if you have no connection with this animal, you don't know anything about a fox or a coyote or a raccoon, just connect with it, just be open. Again, I just try to go into this like, hey, even if I feel weird, even if this feels like, I don't know if this really works, I'm gonna be here, I might as well do it, right? So I opened myself up, and I had already started to have these connections with wolves, and that's a story for another day, but I got wolves with me. And so I was very open to animal totems, animal teachers. And basically he has us start, you know, we're closing our eyes, we're meditation, he's drumming, he's talking, and it's like, hey, you're walking with your animal. Your animal is walking with you, next to you, beside you, behind you. It's up to you and your mind. And so the raccoon was walking along my side, and then he's kind of guiding us. And then he tells us, we get to like this campfire. And at this point, he's like, okay, I'm going to just shut up now and just let the drumming take over. It's just going to be you and your own journey. And so I remember being at this campfire in my mind, meditating, and I see off to the left this very dark, like scary pathway that I was just like, holy crap, I got to go there. And I can tell there's some intense stuff there. And the raccoon was there just kind of waiting for me. But I was also, like I said, I was kind of scared. I was nervous. I didn't know anything about a raccoon. And I saw this in my vision. I see the wolf that I've been connecting with. His name was Yoda. He was a wolf at an animal sanctuary that I ended up volunteering at. That's like a whole other story. But I saw him in the distance and kind of just, he sort of nodded to me and gave me this like approval, like, it's okay, you're safe, go ahead. And again, this is a meditation that I was in, and this is what I was experiencing in my mind. So then after getting that like nod of approval from Yoda the lion, I just hauled ass down that path, and the raccoon went with me. And it was this really powerful experience that all I can say is that it was like I was running through darkness, and I would run through these like memory clouds or something, right? It was like I would run into a cloud and I'd experience a memory. And that happened to me four different times. And it was the first time that I'd seen my life in chapters of seven. And so I saw memory from 7 years old, 14 years old, 21, and I was just about to turn 28 at the time. And so the memory of 7 years old, this is what I'm leading to, the inner child. the memory when I was 7 years old was something that I had like forgotten about. And honestly, at this point, I can't remember the second experience I'm about to tell you guys. I don't remember which one happened first. I have to really go back and stop and think. But one of these experiences brought it to my memory for the first time, and then the other one kind of made it more clear to me. Either way, the vision I saw when I was 7 years old was of being in a baseball uniform and being in my family's garage, like driveway. The garage door is open. I'm like looking out on the driveway, and my mom keeps coming in out of the house, and she's like, "We got to go soon. We got to go to your game soon." And I just remember like seeing this and like feeling it. It's like, whoa, like that's me. And it's me telling her like, let's just wait a couple more minutes. Just wait a couple more minutes. And I was waiting for my father. My father, I told this story as well before. My father, he died of drug overdose 3 years ago, this June. And he, before that, I basically grew up around drug addicts and alcoholics on both sides of my family, but specifically being told my father's in prison because of drugs. And so I got lots of letters from him from prison. He was coming in and out of my life. It really fucked me up for a while. And so this was just one of those times that I guess I'd forgotten about, where I was waiting for him to come and he never showed up. And, you know, it was one of the cases where by the time I heard about it, he was already back in prison. But I saw this memory of me as a 7 year old, just like feeling that. And, you know, then I went on the meditation, I experienced some other things. And then I had another exercise where, I'll shorten the story here, I was at another kind of event, and it's something called body electronics. I encourage you to look it up. It's kind of like a healing modality where you hold pressure points on people. And it's about how your trauma can actually store and like calcify in your body and become things like cancer and other, you know, illnesses in your body. And the way to heal them is to basically to talk about them, to work on them, to have people hold these pressure points. And it literally heats up your body. And they teach the kind of guides and the body electronics modalities to know, you know. So for example, I'm laying on the table and there's these people standing around me holding my body, different pressure points, and I'm just breathing. And after a while you start to feel really warm, and they ask you like, where do you feel it? And I was like, something like over here. I can't remember where it was, but it was like on my chest near my heart. And the guy who created body electronics basically created like a modality, like a map of the human body. And so it's like left, I think, is feminine, right is masculine, and different parts of the body correspond with different relationships. So right away they knew it was about my father. And so they start asking some questions. And again, this memory pops up, and I'm pretty sure it was this time when I experienced it for the first time. This memory pops up and I start describing it. I'm just laying on the table, you know, and I'm around a bunch of strangers except for one or two friends, but I was determined to get my healing. So I'm like, all right, I'm going all in. So they're like, tell us what you're feeling. And I start describing the situation. Like I see myself as 7 years old. I'm like waiting for my dad. He's not coming. And, you know, it was just traumatic. And then they, you know, they kind of encourage you to go deeper. They're like, no, we don't want you to just talk about that experience and that memory. We want you to live it. So relive that memory right now. Go back and be that 7 year old Derek and tell us how you're feeling. And like, you know, I was sitting there and was like, I feel sad. I feel scared. You know, and it was, I mean, by this point, like tears are streaming down my face. I can hear other people in the room crying. I'm just like, I'm all the way in this, you know? And then, you know, the guy who was guiding it, he's sort of like, okay, now I want you to talk to your father, the 7 year old self that you're with right now, that little 7 year old Derek, and tell your father how you feel right now that he's not there. And I just, you know, let out all this shit. I was just like, man, I'm trying not to cry right now. I was just like, you know, why aren't you here? You said you would be here for me. You know, I was just letting it all out. I mean, it felt like the biggest weight that I felt probably up until that time in my life. And I was 25, 26 years old by that point. And I'd been holding on to that stuff for a long time. And, it, you know, so those two experiences, though, I share those stories. I hope that wasn't boring. I share those stories to explain what the inner child has been to me. Like I had to go, and you might have other modalities. Maybe you just pray about it. You just write your journal, do whatever it is. But the point is, like, guys, if we don't work on our trauma, we're not going to be able to survive a cyber polygon, a COVID-1984, Delta variant part two, or whatever they got coming, alien invasion. Like we're going to be screwed. Because you can have all the guns in the world and all the food stored up, and you can have all the backup supplies, and that's important. But at the end of the day, if you're not mentally, spiritually right, you're not going to make it. And I really, truly believe that this is such an important component. And a big part of that is to put on your big boy and big girl shorts and say, hey, you know what? I've got some shit inside of me that I need to work out. And if I keep ignoring it, it's going to hurt me in the long run. Like on the surface, you can feel like, yeah, I'm fine. There's nothing bothering me. And I'm not sitting here saying you need to pick at yourself until you find a problem, because maybe you've done this work. Maybe you do feel very good where you're at. I know that I feel much better than I did 10 years ago. And that journey began 10, 11 years ago, but I can tell there's still more healing to go. And I don't ever want to get to a point in my life where I can't grow as a person and I'm stuck and I'm static. Like I just want to keep healing. I want to keep growing, because to me, healing is freedom. I want to be free, not only in the physical world, but I want to be free in my own body, in my own heart, in my own mind. And the other thing is, you know, we often talk about fighting against tyranny, and we can fight against tyranny in the physical realm, but we also have to fight against tyranny in our internal spiritual realm, which is what I call the internal tyrant. You know, the one that's our own mind, our own doubts, our own fears, our own insecurities that can often limit us or hold us back, right? So it's not about conquering yourself, conquering your fears, conquering your internal tyrant, but it is about learning to heal from that and learning to work within that, learning to love the good parts of you, the bad parts of you, learn to do better. I mean, I've done a lot of really messed up things over my life, I personally feel like, and treated people in not cool ways. And I ended up making a lot of the same mistakes that my father made in his life, and that end up hurting me. And I am really determined not to do that ever again. And so I just felt like it was necessary to maybe share this with you guys. And again, I feel like, unfortunately, the people who need to hear these messages, it's always been this way with my work for the last 10 years. The people who need to hear these particular messages, they don't tune in because, well, I'm not talking about Jeffrey Epstein, or I'm not talking about COVID-19. I'm not talking about vaccines. I'm not talking about the drama. And sometimes that's what we're drawn to. But those of you who can hear my words and are listening and giving me your input, I appreciate you. And I really do hope that you will take some time to get to know yourself on a deeper level, get to know your inner child, and go back and heal those wounds. Because it is important. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're in your teens right now in high school, really feeling all this stuff, trying to figure it out and navigate it. Or if you are, as somebody said earlier, they're 60 years old. It doesn't matter. I mean, whatever age you are, it's never too late to start the healing process. And yeah, I really do hope everybody will take some time to think about that. And I want to say that this video, where is it? I pull up. This video is actually a part of a series of videos that I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks. It is this title of this video that I just did is actually a title from a chapter of my most recent book, The Conscious Resistance, which was originally published as three books in 2015, 16, and 17, and was re-released in 2020 as one trilogy altogether. And in the first book, I have a chapter 5 called Healing the Inner Child Today Will Save the World Tomorrow. And it goes into this, and it shares some more of my experience of what I was just talking about. But I want to encourage you guys to, you can read some of the essay on my website. If you just go to theconsciousresistance.com and search inner child, you'll find it there. And I want to encourage you to check out that book. If you would like to, you can pick it up online, maybe try somewhere other than Amazon and anywhere else. But I do appreciate that, guys. The last thing I want to say is that I launched a new podcast a couple months ago called The Activation, and I've had 5 episodes so far, including Kelly Brogan, Joe Martino of Collective Evolution, Penny Livingston, Mike Swiatek of D-Web and other projects, Web3 projects, and myself talking about what is the Conscious Agora. Tonight, I'm going to be recording the 5th episode of the Activation Podcast with Curtis Stone, aka the Urban Farmer. If you're interested in that, if you know anything about Curtis Stone, you have questions, please feel free to leave them below. I'm excited to talk with him. This will be our first interview together, and we're going to focus on solutions for growing your own food, for being prepared for all the things coming. And I hope you guys will tune in when it comes out next week. And that's what I'm doing. So thanks, guys, for supporting. One last note is, if you do want to support our efforts to release the Pyramid of Power documentary series, we are doing a crowdfunding campaign. So far, we've raised over $12,000. Thank you guys so much for doing that. That's about 80% of our goal. And I'm going to run this the whole summer, and we've already almost reached the goal. But thanks to everybody who can contribute. Even if you can't, please share it. And as always, guys, I appreciate you for listening in. I know that some of you would prefer if I just talk about the Epsteins and the COVID-19 and the vaccines and the, is it isolated or not, or is it a hoax or not, or what about this, the alien invasion coming, and let's argue about critical race theory. But it's just not me anymore. After doing it this long, I want to continue to focus on solutions more than ever. And talking about these issues is a part of the solutions. And I hope more and more of you will see that as time passes. And until next time, guys, thanks for listening. This is Derek Bros. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
This is Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea.